I was listening to the radio recently, and there were two parent experts, and they had found the key to contentment, the secret to contentment. One of them was a clinical psychologist, and they said the secret to contentment is in serving others, in giving rather than in receiving. Accumulation of wealth is not the secret to contentment, contrary to the messages that we get through the media in our hedonistic, narcissistic society. Whether you have a lot from a material wealth point of view, whether you have a little, you can still be content if you are Christ-centered, if you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the experts didn't say serving Jesus on the radio, but the Apostle Paul does, and we see this in everything that he writes. Philippians chapter 1, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Philippians chapter 2, in humility, value others above yourselves. And he goes on to say, like the Lord Jesus, who humbled himself, he became obedient to death on a cross. Philippians 3, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So these Christ-centered statements in the earlier chapters help us to understand chapter 4. God has been teaching Paul the secret to contentment over the years as Paul lives out a Christ-centered life, a servant-hearted life. And as Paul says in verse chapter 12, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I hope we've learned that as we've followed Jesus. Some of us have followed Jesus for a short period of time, perhaps some of us for decades. But that is what God is teaching us in our Christian walk, to be content in Him. Now, I've been travelling through Southeast Asia this year, and I met lots of Christians who know the secret to contentment. They don't have much. They don't have a huge house. They don't have much material wealth, but they have Jesus. And Eunice, who you're going to hear from in a second, reminded me a lot of the Apostle Paul.
Our home is built over a very dirty river, and when the storms happen, our home floods with water and garbage. This is a scary place to make things up. People get drunk and fight all the time. Even though I live in this place, I have been sponsored by Arlie and Nancy. I call them Mom and Dad. Although they are countries apart, I know they chose me. They tell me, Eunice, we remember you. We love you. You were like our own daughter. Because of my sponsors, I had the opportunity to go to the compassion program at the church in my neighborhood. For all these years, my sponsors and my church have helped me to receive better food and medicine. With the help of my sponsors, I will be able to work to help my own family. When I was 9, my compassion teacher shared Jesus with us. And that's when I accepted Christ. Even though I am poor, He has provided my church to give His sponsors who love me. God will never leave us. I want to share everything I have learned with kids who are like me. I want them to feel the joy of having a sponsor, to get the recognition. I love you. I want to serve the Lord, and I won't stop serving Him, because He does not stop loving me.
There are children around the world waiting, waiting for a sponsor like you. This is a child from our team in Jesus' name.
I met Eunice a few weeks ago. It was her 21st birthday. We're having a few technical problems today, sorry. Should I turn that mic off? No. And we were at a Compassion graduate dinner, kids who graduated or young adults who graduated from the program over the past few years. And she had just completed the program a month earlier, and she said to me, I've been freed from poverty. And that was very confronting for me, because she still lives in that same house that you saw in the clip. But she's learned to be content. She She also has options. She's got the ability to make choices. She's got her first full-time job. Through the help of Compassion, she managed to get through secondary and tertiary education. And like the Apostle Paul, she has found contentment in the Christ-centered life, a life of service. As you saw her serving the younger children, she wants those younger children to know Jesus and to be content in him. Now, I've muted the sound a little bit here. She's speaking in a native language, but you can see what she's saying in the PowerPoint slide behind her. Christ is at the centre of her life, and she is content knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. She has assurance in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are having a few hiccups. What do you think, Ms. Dave? What do you think? Is it my connection, or keep going? Okay. Now, what's the key thing that you heard in her testimony? She has a much greater story, a longer story, a very compelling story, much more than you can tell in 2.5 minutes. But the focal point of her time in the Compassion Program is coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Every year, more than 100,000 children and parents come to know Jesus, follow Jesus, make a first-time confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ through a Compassion Sponsorship Program. Every year. I met some other former sponsor children a few months ago when I was in northern Thailand. And this is a church we plan to visit in late June next year. We would love you to come on the trip. It's great to hear the stories. It's great to hear the testimonies. But it's much better to go and see what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing in the developing world. And it had a huge impact on my daughter. I took my daughter along. I'm taking one of my sons, or one of my daughters, came along in February. I'm taking one of my sons to Indonesia in January, and then we're going on the trip to Thailand. We're going to visit this church. These three people are former sponsor children. Now, two of them are content, but one of them isn't content. All three of them are former Compassion sponsor kids. The pastor on the right, he was a former sponsor child from the age of 10. He said the majority of people that went through the program with him are now in some sort of capacity in ministry, in Christian ministry. And he's a very well-educated guy. He's also got a degree in education. He could live in a far more comfortable place, but he has chosen to serve here. If you're an existing supporter, you know that you receive letters from your child. You also receive a letter from the pastor each year, pastor of the church that oversees the program or that works with Compassion Program. So this is an excerpt from his most recent letter. He's seeing really encouraging outcomes. Every single child that has graduated from our program has gone on to university. That's incredible. Every child that's gone through Compassion Sponsorship Program has gone on to university. These are the poorest kids in the village, and they've gone on to university. And then he says, the church has grown so much because these children have come to the Lord. So physical poverty has been dealt with through the provision of basic material needs, but also through the provision of education. A lot of what Compassion does is assist kids. Kids who are illiterate are encouraged through tutoring after school and various other things. But also, there has been a growth in an understanding of who Jesus is. And they've had to build a new church in Thailand, where you're not really hearing about too much gospel growth, because their church is overflowing. The woman in the middle, she just completed a degree in theology, along with her husband. She's a very capable lady, and her parents were very disappointed that she has decided to follow Jesus and to serve him for the rest of her life, because they're from a very poor family. She's from a very poor family, and they would prefer that she does something to bring some more income in. But she is content. She is content to know and serve Jesus and serve others. Now, the lady on the left, she's not content. She said to me, I'm too comfortable here. So my husband and I, we're moving to a really remote part of Thailand, on the border of Thailand and Myanmar in the highlands, to go and serve churches and children and families that work with Compassion there. Because, like, there's too much wealth here. We need to go where people are really poor. And I actually felt a little bit ashamed, because walking around that village, I thought to myself, I couldn't live here. My own family sponsors two kids here. Paul, who's pictured at the top, teenager, and Title, who's down the bottom, 6 years old. We sponsored him actually when we were there. We found out that his mother had died 4 years earlier of cancer, and his dad was raising him. And now that little family has a safety net. It's called the local church, and it's being funded by my family through Compassion. So my seven-year-old son sponsors Title. Neither of these boys are Christians yet, but being part of the Compassion sponsorship program, they are hearing about God who became a man and then gave his life as a sacrifice for our sins and then defeated death for us too. And Title said the church gave his dad a Bible, and his dad, who isn't a Christian, is reading Bible stories, and they both agree, reading Bible stories to him every night. And they both agree that Jesus sounds like a great man, and they're learning more. And we are praying for those kids. It is a great message, isn't it? It's the message that the Apostle Paul took all over the ancient world. And the message has even reached us here in Sydney, and it's reached Thailand. Paul's contentment was found in Jesus, and he wanted that message to go all over the world. And he was willing to put up with so many difficulties that we read about in the Bible, because all he wanted to do was tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not everyone welcomes the message. Not everyone welcomed the message back then. The Philippians, however, they welcomed the message. Paul planted a church there. That church loves Paul. Paul loves the church. You can see it in the letter to the Philippians. However, as Paul travelled to other places, he was despised. The message was rejected. In fact, Paul found himself in and out of jail. And that's the context of the letter to the Philippians. That's where Paul was. He was under house arrest in Rome when he wrote, "I have learned the secret of being content." In this unlikely place, Paul is feeling content. I mean, at other times he said, "I despaired of life itself." But it is a deep contentedness, a deep joy. Just before this, he said, "Rejoice." And I say it again, rejoice. Paul is willing to put up with a lot to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And he reminded me of a pastor I met a few weeks ago, Alindo. 27 years ago, when he graduated from Bible college, he intentionally went to this town, one of the poorest places that he knew of, to go and plant a church. The Promised Land Baptist Church, built next to seven stories of compacted rubbish. You know about these rubbish dump communities. You hear about them on the news. You hear the horror stories about the rubbish collapsing and burying people. It happened here too in the year 2000. 242 people were killed when a big chunk of rubbish collapsed and buried people. Now, half of the parents of the sponsor kids in this town are scavengers. That's not a derogatory title, it's an official job title. They scavenge through the rubbish, and on a good day they can earn as much as $3 or $4, or they may earn as little as $1 a day, and that's what they use to look after their family. And as I said, it's dangerous. That's his Alindo's brother on the right. He moved to the same town to help his brother minister there. Their families live together in a tiny house, so this big extended family living in this tiny house. But they just want the poorest people to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Pastor Alindo intentionally planted the church in the wasteland. And when I heard the kids singing songs in the church, I realised that the songs had special significance because of the context of where they were growing up.
Thank you.
Pastor Alindo is content to live next to a stinking mountain of rubbish as long as he can serve the kids and serve the families here so they can walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and learn to be content in Him and to know about the riches that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Alindo was a guy that seemed to me to be a lot like Paul, content in whatever circumstances he was in. He wasn't living the high life living in that place for 27 years. Now, for 16 years, Alindo had been asking Compassion to partner with him, and it only happened in the last 7 years. And when it happened, like the Apostle Paul, he rejoiced greatly. For every 5 churches that approach Compassion, we can only accept one. We're very rigorous in the ways we make churches accountable for the way they use their money, relational accountability, theological accountability. But there is another reality. There aren't enough sponsors in the developed world to go to help every single church. And you might think, oh, but that church looks really, really poor. Why would we have knocked them back for 16 years? Well, the answer to the question is, there are countless communities like this all over the developing world, not just in Thailand, Philippines, and Indonesia. There are countless communities like this. There are 250 million children living in extreme poverty in the world. Well, thankfully, this pastor's prayer was answered, but there are many other churches knocking on Compassion's door. There are 150 sponsor kids. Well, there were. On the day we visited with a group of pastors, 3 of those pastors sponsored children in that particular village. And you should have seen the look on the pastor's face at the end of the day when I said, you know, 3 more children are sponsored today, 153 kids. And again, he rejoiced greatly, just like the Apostle Paul, because there was a safety net for those families. And those kids and families would be hearing about Jesus. Please look at verse 10 with me. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. So let's consider the context. Paul was under house arrest in Rome. The Philippians didn't bury their head in their hands and say, oh no, what's going to happen to Paul? They took it as an opportunity. It was an opportunity for Christian generosity. And they've got an opportunity to show their concern for him once again. And they gather together some money, they give it to Epaphroditus, and he takes it to Paul. And it's a long trek, but they've got trustworthy Epaphroditus taking the money over. Kids are living in poverty. It's heartbreaking. You might say, what can I do? There are so many kids living in poverty. Well, this presents an opportunity to each of us for Christian generosity. And Compassion faithfully takes that journey with you and for you. Paul doesn't want the money himself. Pastor Alindo, he doesn't want the money himself. In fact, Pastor Alindo doesn't get a cent from Compassion. We work with 7,000 churches, and the pastors of those churches, 7,000 pastors, they are all volunteers for Compassion. But Paul and Alindo, they see Christian generosity through the lens of kingdom building, of Jesus changing the world one life at a time. So Compassion sponsorship program draws kids, the neediest kids, the most at-risk kids in the community. They're invited into the program, the poorest families, the poorest villages, and they care for their physical and their spiritual needs. And that's holistic. Now, holistic might sound like a fancy word or some kind of rhetoric, but it just means that we care for the whole person. Holistic must include sharing the gospel, mustn't it? Child sponsorship must include sharing the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's how you bring restoration. That's how you bring deep restoration. And that's not hype. It's actually part of Compassion's story. You know, Compassion has also helped shape entire countries. 65 years ago, a Presbyterian pastor from Chicago flew to war-ravaged Korea to preach to weary troops. Now, I want to say to you, it's one thing knowing about people living in poverty, but it's another thing going and seeing what's going on and God working in your heart so that you can convict others to be generous.
And as he approached the door, he discovered something really troubling. It was a huge, big trouble. And there were soldiers there. And the soldiers. is full of earth, and the etching in each one of his little piles of rags. And they were looking to see who didn't make it. And those who didn't survive picked up and brought him to the back of the truck and whisked away. And by the time the sun came up in the city of Sulphur, the horror of the night had passed. The children had shared with each other, and even had gifts, which was their final. But as the truck went on down the road, he realized it's not just this doorway, it's that doorway, and that doorway, and that doorway. And he discovered from the people that these were the children whose parents had been killed in the war and had no place to go. The only thing they had for each other was their own war. The government was overwhelmed with the war. It was a poverty-stricken nation. The church virtually didn't exist back in those days. There was only 400,000 Christians in all of South Korea. Well, his time there was just a short few days in Korea as he preached to the troops, led many of them to Christ, as I remember very responsive properly. But it was a big joke. He climbed on the earth when he hit back to the Bible. And as this big man of God, with his heart so broken and so full, climbed on that plane to fly back, the engines began to groan in his ear, and then they began to form rhythms in his ear, and then they began to form words in his ear. What he was hearing as he flew along was, what are you going to do? 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 He listened to that all the way back to when he got to Chicago. He knew he had to do something. One of the very first things he did was tell one of his friends about what he had seen, the horror of all of these things. His friend said, "All right," and he opened the drawer of his desk and pulled out a check for $1,000, no name, just a check for $1,000. And he said, "For a long time, I've got to tell you, I want you to care for the orphans and the widows. So when someone comes and tells us about that need, give it." And he says, "Ever forgive me, so ever responsible and obedient to those engines that I'm going to do." The first person he told on gave him $1,000 and compassion in action. He listened to the engines, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? That was more than 50 years ago. The question for us today is, what are you going to do?
Compassion began as an orphanage for 35 kids. It's now 1.8 million sponsor kids around the world. Well, I did say that Jesus is restoring entire countries through Compassion's ministry. Compassion Korea has gone from the first beneficiary of charity from the developed world. Now they're the second biggest giver. They've eclipsed Compassion Australia and Compassion UK.
Here was this big banquet hall, probably 500 Christians gathered together. And I stood up to reintroduce Compassion to this country because we've been gone for 10 years. And I was telling them that it's all about Jesus Christ. And it's all about the church. And I got about 5 minutes into my message that morning when a man about whose table said, "Wait a second." And I thought, "Oh, I got a heckler. Someone's going to give me a hard time." And I ignored him and started talking to the people over here and the people over here. And then he stood up. And I thought, "Well, I can't ignore him anymore." And I said, "This is." And he said, "Wes, you don't have to tell us this." And then he said, "Here, why not?" He said, "Because we're your children." He says, "I'm the head of one of the ministries in Korea. And I'm one of your kids." And the man jumps up on the other side and says, "Yeah, and I'm the head of this denomination, and I'm one of your kids." And one by one, they popped up across here and said, "Compassion, welcome home. We know you. We're your children." Well, we watched the Koreans in 2002, and sure enough, the Korean people with big, wonderful hearts were ready, knowing that they didn't. You know that some of the biggest churches in the world are in South Korea. South Korea is one of the biggest sending organizations missionaries across the world. It's the only place in the world where I've attended churches where the pastor looks at his congregation. Congregations of 100,000 of them. And says to them, "Excuse me, people, but if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, please don't come every week. You're sitting in the seats of people who need to make that decision." One out of every 4 South Koreans are born again. and ready to reach out to us. So we went back to South Korea, back to our roots, back to our children. And now they are reaching out to the children across the world. And the letters from South Korean sponsors are the most beautiful letters because they know poverty. They remember when this happened to Grandpa. The door goes in with compassion, and they are ready to listen. One man, obedient to the drone of the engines, and he did it. Now it's the South Koreans, the grandchildren of the people that we began, who are asking themselves, what are we going to do? And the world is getting worse.
We saw that the Apostle Paul rejoiced greatly in Christian generosity. You know that God rejoices too. God shares in the joy. Please look at me at verse 18. I've received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Christ's sense of generosity pleases God. In my travels over the last few years throughout Southeast Asia, I've met a lot of people who are radically generous with their whole lives. And they don't see it as a great sacrifice. They rejoice in being able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Lilibet. She was a chemical engineer, but she walked away from that career and the potential to live in a really nice place. She lives in the red light district. And she's the compassion director earning a fortune, the project director earning a fraction of the fortune she used to earn. This is where she ministers.
One thing is very rough. We have children ages 11, 12, postcards to 8 months. There are children in the community, Australia, pregnant, 14 years old, who are already in the prostitution. We have poverty.
All the building of different devices, it really is a different field of traffic.
Compassion works in lots of places like that, sadly. Beth could be in a nice part of town, but she is seeing the Lord Jesus Christ changing the lives of children through faithful local churches, and that is giving her great joy. She's been part of an incredible transformation. She has seen kids, as we saw in Eunice's testimony, raised up to know and love Jesus, who are teaching other kids about the Lord Jesus Christ and encouraging them to find their contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. She has seen the drug lord of the town come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. She has served Jesus and he has shown her amazing things. And she is more than content in that. And I saw it happening everywhere, wherever I travelled. People content. This is Kara, one of our family sponsor kids in the middle. Her dad's the pastor of the church that works with compassion. Now, pastors' kids aren't usually allowed to be sponsors of kids, so I did some digging to find out why this happened. And they said, well, they don't have very much money, they've virtually got no assets, and he's refused to take a pay rise for the last 7 years because he wanted other staff to come and help him. So he's used the pay rise money to get other people to come and work with him. And they said, well, we made an exception in his case. And I thought, he is a man who has learned to be content in all circumstances as he serves the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing that stayed with me as I've travelled with compassion is that there are so many people content to live in the most difficult places, places that I would find very challenging to live in. And they do it at their personal expense for the sake of others. How do they do it? Well, they do it the same way as the Apostle Paul. Please look at verse 13 for me. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. God strengthens them. Being content in the Lord Jesus Christ through difficult times, through the highs and lows of life, is made possible for us through God's strength. God has strengthened Paul. Now, Paul's basically saying, you know, I was okay before Epaphroditus risked his life to travel through the ancient world to come and give me the money. Please look at verse 17. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. through God's strength, I've learned to be content. So, you know, I would be okay without the money that you've sent me. But I really do appreciate what you've sent me. And I want you to be generous because it's good for you to be generous. Paul rejoices greatly because the Philippian church that he planted is growing in godliness, growing in Christ-likeness. And evidence of this is seen in their generosity. Generosity is good for us. Generosity develops Christian character. Being content with what we have and sharing with others, as we heard about in the kids' talk. Christian character, Christ-likeness, going without for others, just like Jesus went without. He gave his whole life for you and for me so that we can be eternally rich. And God's riches are far greater than any false riches that our hedonistic material world can offer up. Please look at verses 19 and 20 as we close. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Christian brothers and sisters in Southeast Asia and all over the world living in the developing world have learned the secret to being content, trusting in God's provision and trusting in the glorious riches that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to close now with a 1 minute clip. And I want to say to you that I believe these kids have learned the secret as well. They've learned the secret to contentment with God's strength at work in their lives.
I love you. I have a suit.